Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Car Hio is a single student in Toronto who does something wrong and goes to jail. His single dad, a war photographer, drives out from Montreal to meet him there in Toronto. He owes his son a debt for breaking up with his ex-wife, an artist, but he also has a responsibility to his neighbor, a woman named Widad. She's hiding in plain sight. So until he answers his responsibilities, his life is at a standstill. Standstill is also the name of a new Canadian movie. It's a film where English is rarely spoken. Not so unusual in films set in Montreal. What is unusual is that the characters speak Kanien-Kahaka, or the Mohawk language, possibly the first such film ever made. Shot in beautiful black and white, it's a pensive character study of misplaced souls and alienation. It's directed by award-winning filmmaker Majdi El Omari, and it's his first feature. The film opens today at Toronto's Royal Cinema, and I'm very pleased to have him here by telephone from Montreal to tell us more about it. Hi, Majdi.
Hi, Daniel.
So your film is largely set within the Mohawk First Nations community in urban settings, off reserve. Why did you choose this group?
It's accidentally when I immigrated to Canada, it was like 30 years after Oka crisis or 1990, and the Ganazataki Reserve. So I was curious about what happened, research it to understand what exactly happened there. So as a Palestinian origin, I can understand the people who were under political pressure or living difficult situations that affect their personal life. So since then, to understand where I am in Quebec, Canada, or Indigenous, the people who were before me in this land. So I was curious about them and their culture. Then later on, I developed the idea of the film, which is the two main character is the Mohawk and a Palestinian woman who live this kind of alienation because of the political situation. Now, the film is not politics, but it's about existentialist characters who affected always because of this political situations. Then later when because I didn't attend the Oka crisis, I went to Six Nation Reserve, Suega, to understand more the situation around 2006. And anyway, being close to this community made me understand a lot of the conflict, which is, in my opinion, simple conflict can be resolved, but politicians doesn't have the real will to resolve it. So, and meeting individual characters from the community made me feel the resemblance between them and any other people, although that in the media they represented, not in the media, we see them in the media as not stereotyped as earlier. Now it's better, of course, it's improved their image, but still as if different people, although that they resemble the other people in their daily life, except this political situation that always affect them. Now, while saying that they are not different, it doesn't mean that they are not they are similar in their culture. They have their own culture, but it's that really would enrich our culture in general. It's just the stereotype that I'm trying to remove while dealing with them, something like that.
You mentioned the Oka conflict. Would you compare the militants in in the Mohawk community with the PLO, for example?
It's not really that simple. It's people under political problems, you know, who are resisting to live their daily life normally, or to live their culture normally without being asked to resist, you know, or being asked to have a label as defending, or as, you know, it can be similar to Palestinian, to people in Rwanda, people in Yugoslavia, people in anywhere in the world who are trying to just live a normal life. So in this sense, yes.
So one of the common images in sort of in the background of your film, not explicit, but for example, they go to a convenience store and on the news channel, there's people getting attacked by the police. And online and on other screens, you see quite violent encounters with police or military by regular people or by protesters. But in the film itself, the encounters with the police, they seem very benign, even kindly. So can you talk about that dichotomy?
It's because, I mean, for me, the violence is internal violence. I mean, if you saw an image that the police is hitting a native or Palestinian or whoever, it's not this what it's what the effect on the internal of the character, you know, like Arihoti, for example, is a result of what happened in the what's happening actually in Genestaki or in the Mohawk community, which is can destroy his personal life, his relation, ruin his relation with his wife. He feels alienated in his community. He left. He tried to be a photographer in Sarajevo. He came back to Montreal. So his father, we heard that his father committed suicide. So all this because of this violence that affects their psychic, you know. And his kid, who is a fresh, you know, young kid, starting his life, again, he has this burden over his shoulder. He's walking on the street to see his, you know, like symbols of his culture is being mocked in a bazaar store selling, you know, knick-knack native. So he refused this kind of mocking. Something, you know, it's always affecting them internally. It's not like the normal violence that the police. I mean, that you were mentioning.
And yet, there seems to be. I don't know if it's all pervasive or somehow sinister, but the police seem to appear like a police car on the highway. His dealings with his son at the police station, his interview with the detective, they seem to be there, but very nice or nonviolent.
It's not like I'm not talking about the police in the film. It's I'm talking about this. The police is you know, there is a murder in the beginning of the film that worry the main character. That he, as if he's part of it, because he helped the female character to escape the murder scene, and so
right,
then,
I don't want to give away the ending.
Yeah. And then when the police, when he saw police in the driveway, they were just asking, they were telling him that you're not allowed to. But this created in him worry that they might discover something, or and in the police station, it just they are doing the job that the kid after he destroyed some knickknacks or something. So it's normal that they took him to the prison, and then when his father went there, so he took him back, and then the court. So it's a normal process. There is nothing against them, but what is against them is all this burden of being native or being asked to resist or asked to, and if you don't resist, so then you're assimilated. So anyway, without noticing, the whole society with the institutions is putting a burden over their life, which they want to live normally like any other. They want to enjoy nature. They want to enjoy, you know, their daily life, their social life. So this is what the film is concerned about.
So I'm very interested in the use of the Mohawk language. Do you speak the language?
No, I don't, but I...
So how did you do it? How did you do it?
I was lucky to have some friends from the community who started like a researcher, but then we developed a long-term friendship. There are a lot of names, Clifton, one of Clifton Nicholas, one of them. But I know that language is very important. I mean, this is what is behind the Quebec resistance. Language is very essential part of culture. And I know that, for example, some characters, when they speak to each other in intimate way, so they speak in Nganengeha or in Mohawk language. And then when the relation, like the son and father, is called, so then they speak in English. So there is a use when the female character, the Palestinian, felt very troubled. So she talked to her friend in Palestine, and she speaks in Arabic, but she couldn't tell her what she's suffering from. But language is very essential to us. And I didn't go farther with using the language, how it's really beautiful, and you can know about their culture through the language, how it's pacifist culture, how it's celebrating life and nature through words, you know. I mentioned a few of this in the film. When the kid tells his father, "You were a warrior in the Oka crisis," so the father said, "No, it's we don't say it this way. We say it in a different way, which means carrying the peace or protecting the community, something like that." But when the English language tried to translate this word, so they put a warrior, but it's not specifically means this word as it means in English. Anyway, I really wanted to do it. So anyway, I after writing the script in English, I translated in Nganengeha. Then I reviewed the Nganengeha with another person. Then I re-translated to English to be sure that it means this. You know what I mean? With the help of course, with the collaborator and researchers and those wonderful friends.
Well, it added a dimension to a film that I've never seen before. Thank you so much for telling us all about it.
Thank you.
Majdi El Omari's new film, Standstill, opens today at the Royal Cinema in Toronto, and it'll be there for a question and answer after the show. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.